Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a psychotherapist and author whose passion is teaching people how to have more love and intimacy in their lives. Please welcome Stephanie Goldman.
Thank you. My name is actually Stephanie Goldman Meese.
Oh, there you go. I have been misinformed. I feel it's lovely to chat to you today. First off, I'd like to get into a bit of your general perspective on where we are with dating. You know, we're the Modern Relationship podcast, and I know that's a big part of your work, is looking at how relationships have changed over the years.
Yes. Dating is actually one of the richest experiences you could have, because what happens in dating is, I think it's your soul reaches out and attracts certain people to connect with. And with each person that you connect with, you have more lessons to learn, and you get to crystallize what it is you need and want.
I love that. When you look back at your own life and your own experiences, were there times when you did have that experience of successfully making those connections, and then times when you're like, we're not in the same page, we're not in the same book?
Right. But that's a really important thing anyway, because one of the things that we do to stay centered is to have boundaries. And it's very hard in dating, especially because usually you enter dating because you crave or you yearn for someone to love you. And we don't always see with clear glasses when we're dating. We look at that person and go, well, yeah, this will work. But as we find the reality, which is, it's a big part of psychotherapy, is to teach people how to see clearly and see reality. So each time you have to end a relationship, or at least decide that this person may be just a friend and not a lover, you're crystallizing your own boundaries. You're clarifying, oh, this doesn't work for me. Or this is almost there, but there's something there that I can't get over.
Mm-hmm. And it's a tough process, right? Because you go into dating and you want to keep optimistic, and each person you're like, maybe it's them. There is that bent towards hope and towards maybe also convincing yourself that this person is right, even if everything inside of you is like, is it butterflies or is it anxiety?
So true. And I think underneath that, what I've noticed, I've been doing psychotherapy now about 20 years, and I've noticed that before people leap ahead, there's always fear. They have to face their fear every single time. And so I think there's a fear that we'll be alone. There's a fear that we're not lovable. And so we keep trying to fight against that fear. But actually, if we sit with it, like so many things, it calms down and we get wisdom from it. I always say to my clients, don't make any decisions out of fear. Mm-hmm. And I say it to myself. And I have made a lot of lousy decisions out of fear, but it doesn't work. Comes back to bite you.
Absolutely. And that process you described there of sitting with whatever emotion, you know, it can be so difficult. It's not something we're really taught growing up. You know, if anything, we're taught the opposite. Run away from emotions, bottle them up, shove them down, anything but confront them.
And I was taught in psych school that addictions specifically are a phobia about emotions. Meaning, oh my God, there's an emotion coming. I can't stand to have that emotion. Give me, you know, the weed, the alcohol, whatever it is. But it's all, I guess the reason I can do the work I do, and I love doing this work much more than being a violinist, which is what I used to do. This work always makes you accept and slow down and sit with yourself and have trust that there is a system inside of you that's perfect. We don't have to change the game inside of us. We just have to be with it.
Yeah.
And that's what relationships teach us too.
Could you speak a bit more about that? You know, the idea of having an internal system that does make sense.
Yes. Well, I encourage people. I myself am bipolar, and I've had a long journey of putting it together. And I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty put together now. And what I learned is that a lot of what causes the bipolar was the inability to sit with the darkness within me. And it switches over to a more of a manic state. And I don't want to get too extreme with this discussion, but what I learned is it's essential to come up with your own version of faith. Doesn't mean you have to believe one way, one religion or another, but to sense that there is a system around us that is amazingly orderly, such as if you look at the way the plants work, the way the sun shines and things grow. I think it really changed my life when I had a kid. My first child was my daughter. We had sex, and 9 months later, there's this amazing baby came out. And I thought, what is the force behind this? And then I began to look for it everywhere. And I encourage my clients to do this. It changes their lives to have a sense that you can trust. There's a loving, giving, nurturing, nourishing force behind you. And if you go from that point of view, what it does is, especially in relationships, you don't come with an attitude of scarcity where I'm not getting enough and you're not doing this for me and you're bad or whatever, but rather to say, oh, look at that. Why did that happen? That's interesting. I yelled at you because you dried the dishes the wrong way. Huh, look at that. Oh, that's interesting. What is that about? Mm-hmm. There's a reason, there's an order, and faith in that is, and I see that in my marriage now, that is really, that's the goods. It's feeling that love. That love is there. You just have to kind of get the crust off of it.
Yeah. No, I love that way of looking at it, that you have a, you know, something to trust and believe in. And, you know, for me, I think sometimes it comes secondary what exactly that belief is, as long as there's something. You know, for me, I'm religious, I'm Christian, but I also wouldn't be of the belief that if someone's praying to a different God, that's getting lost. You know, for me, it's all going to the same place. So whether it's a organized religion or you're believing in a, you know, a concept, you know, let's say you believe in love and you base a certain amount, hopefully not too much of your life, but a certain amount of your belief in the world is around, I will find my person. You know, there can be something very healing and empowering for people in that when they have something to believe in and go for.
Yes, it also quiets anxiety. I think there are a lot of habits that couples have that are just trying to push away anxiety. And so if you have that belief, it tends to lower your blood pressure and to calm your adrenal glands, you know.
Yeah. And that is like the fascinating science behind so much of this, just how much partnering up is kind of built into us. You know, long-term couples that are used to sleeping in the same bed, their heart rate has been shown to lower more. You know, they're entering a deeper state of relaxation when they have that person there, you know, and it is partly the safety and the habitual nature of this person is my chosen family. In the same way, a baby's heart rate is higher when they don't know where their mother is.
Yes, it's so amazing that bonding instinct. We're supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's magical, but then also there's a pressure there. Who's my person going to be? Or do I have to find someone? You know, maybe that bonding is family, is, you know, relatives, is friends. Or maybe, you know, we might feel like, oh no, I have to find that one specific person or I don't have connection in my life.
Well, there may also be a deeper impulse behind this. I just spent 7 years studying in energy school while I was still a violinist. And one of the things which you may not buy at all, but some people do, is past lifetimes. Or there's ancestral hand-me-down. There are a lot of things that happened to our previous generations in our line that were never resolved. We carry those. We carry past lifetimes. And I don't worry about whether they're authentic and the details are right. But what I do find is, in any event, there's consciousness in us that wants resolution. And sometimes there's a sense I want to be with that person. I need to resolve something with that person, even though it may not be pleasant. I need that person, and we are not done yet. So I don't judge any of this as being true or real or whatever. All I know is when I have a client, I work with people. First, we talk like therapy on a chair on a couch. And then I have a massage table, and they go on the table for about a half an hour at the end of the session. And sometimes they tell me about something that happened in Stockholm, and it was in the 1400s, and they describe it in detail. And they tell me, oh, and that person who was my sister, she's my mother now. Stuff like that. I don't care if it's real. All I know is I'm walking around in their subconscious with them. And that's when I talk about the work that people, individuals, have to do. It's trusting that whatever comes up from you, you should listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really would believe in that, in terms of there is a drive towards resolution in our lives. You know, we are drawn towards peace. And so, you know, however you look at that, for me, it would be a lot of your own kind of stuff of like, you know, whether it's childhood, whether it's past relationships, things that inform who you are today. But also there can be very current things, like you say, that there might be a relationship where you don't feel closure there, and you're finding elements of that relationship showing up, whether it's you keep picking people that are a bit similar to that person because you're still trying to resolve that old thing, you know, or even just you find it hard to connect with a new person because your mind is still with the previous one.
Yeah.
That's what I would describe as the working through these things so that we can move on and find peace and find resolution. And to trace back before you were as insightful as you are now, do you have a story you could share from your own dating past?
My cousin fixed me up with someone, and he was a professor, and he was wearing his hair in bone jacket, and he hardly said a word. And I thought, and I was at the point of dating. I was single for 6 years between my first marriage and my second marriage. And I was getting to the point of thinking, just what I said about setting boundaries, I don't really like going out with people where you have to do the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This guy said nothing, or virtually nothing. I mean, I didn't feel, I'm into energy, so I didn't feel like hostility from them or anything negative. But he was sort of attractive and, you know, whatever. And a few days later, I got a call, would you like to go to lunch? And I thought, do I want to go to lunch with this guy? He hardly talked. So he took my pendulum, which is how I know if things are good or not. And my pendulum almost flew out of my hand with a really big yes. It was clockwise circle. Okay. So I met him. We had the most wonderful date. We were so comfortable with each other. And he's my husband now.
Wow. Was there something that in hindsight you think changed, you know, that second date?
He told me that he thought I was so beautiful he could hardly speak.
Oh. What did you say to that? You're like, shut up. Go away. I say maybe that's more the Irish approach to receiving compliments. You're like, go away. Go away with that niceness. Wow. Lovely.
Okay.
And, you know, when you look back on that, do you think, you know, kind of giving it a chance, as much as you sort of used your pendulum, which, if the listeners aren't familiar, is a crystal on like a string or a chain that, depending how it moves, is meant to kind of harness your intuition.
It's reading my energy field. It's telling me if it's clockwise, it means things are kind of congruent. If it goes side to side, it's kind of like, no, this is blocked. Don't do this. I give them to all my clients. I have a big sack of them in my office, because I think the pendulum is one of those ways to stop and check in. Is this good for me? Do I want to do this? And also, you know, there are parts of our personality that can come up that are arrogant or fearful or whatever. And we want to lead our lives in a way, and this is not my term, it's called self-led. It's a term by Richard Schwartz, who invented internal family systems. It's a cutting-edge school of psychotherapy that's like in 40 countries now. It's marvelous. It's called Pert's Theory. But the point is, we have a distilled, amazing, divine, you could call it, core. And there's a way of learning what that feels like. It's clear. It's calm. It's considerate. It's confident. I mean, there are all these C words. Compassionate. But mostly what it is an observer. So, and this comes up so much in our marriage now, I notice. If you can get to a place of clarity and calm, you can say to yourself, well, I'm really being childish now, or I shouldn't have said that, or what's going on with me that I snapped at him that way, or, you know, anything. Why is this such a big issue? Because the thing about our daily relationships is we interact about a million little things. And I've learned that if you resolve the little things, there's a feeling of safety. And if you fight about little things, it's cool. You need to have yin and yang. You need to have tension and relaxation or whatever, release, resolution. But if those little things are just little, then you don't accuse each other of being, you know, sociopaths or idiots or whatever. And that will create more safety. And when there's safety, love deepens. That is for sure.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Absolutely. And when you look back on your first marriage, was there a particular kind of disconnect, you know, that you can draw a lot of that ending back to?
Yes, very much. My husband was a doctor. I think he just retired. And I was just a lowly violinist. And in the beginning, I was like, teach me, I'll be anything you want me to be, kind of a thing. And then that is a betrayal of oneself. And what I see a lot when I do couples counseling, if one person bends too much to please the other person, there's an anger within them against themselves. It's a betrayal of oneself if you aren't authentic. And then that anger gets directed toward the other person. Why do you do this to me? It's not the other person doing it to you. It's you doing it to you. And that I see mostly women clients come for therapy, and a lot of them are angry with their husbands. And when we dig a little deeper, what we find out is they're not being true and advocates of themselves for themselves. Mm-hmm. They're really angry with themselves.
Yeah, I think that's so well put, because, you know, what you're describing there, I think, is what we'd colloquially call people pleasing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very common. And, you know, to an extent, I think it's encouraged, like particularly in women, it can be something you're raised with, of like appease those around you, particularly the men. And like you say, there's an externalizing that happens then. If your focus is so on how do I keep this person happy, and that's then intensified by the intensity of a relationship, then your focus is so based on them. What are they feeling? What do they want? What are their priorities? and you start to resent those things that in reality you shouldn't be so beholden to in the first place. And that's not to blame the person, but it's to, you know, bring the locus of control back in and recenter on, what do I want out of this relationship? And when have I ever prioritized that?
And there's a whole other piece, which is you have this amazing potential within you. I think some of the studies I've read have said we use 7% of our brain capacity or something. But the point is, there's Bobby, and he was born with these qualities of sensitivity and creativity and intelligence and all these things. If Bobby contorts himself to be the bookend of another person, then there's a relationship inside of you that fails. The happiness really is being well taken care of on the inside. So what that means is there's potential within me. There are desires. There is imagination. There's potential growth. Growth is really important. We never stop growing. The universe never stops expanding. And we're supposed to go with it. So if we fit the bill for the other person, we're in a little bit of a straitjacket, and our inner child will shrivel up. We won't smile and laugh the way we're supposed to, because that child will be, well, you keep telling me no, and you keep counteracting whatever I tell you I want to do. Children are so beautiful. I just spent the weekend with my 3-year-old granddaughter. Oh my gosh, what's going on in her is fluid and creative and beautiful and loving. Lumio.
Yeah, and if anyone knows how to prioritize themselves, it's a 3-year-old. They've got a whole agenda.
So
your priorities don't exist.
They rule the world. Yeah.
You know, and there is something that we lose there, that, you know, we want to obviously live in harmony with other people. We want to be able to interact and the whole world not be kept about ourselves. But there is a happy medium there, you know, and what you were describing. I don't think it's an oversimplification to say that so much of creating a life that we have space to be happy in, is how I would put it, is one where your internal reality can match what you're creating around you. So your interests match up with the job that you're doing, you know, what you want in a relationship and what you crave, even on that sort of, you know, deeper level that you might discover in therapy, also matches with the person that you're with, you know, because that is where we're showing up for ourselves. That is where we're in congruence with the world around us. And that's not to say, you know, you have to be around only people you agree with or only people that affirm whatever delusion you might have that day. It's like, no, it goes deeper than that. It's people that you care about that care about you. It's people that you respect that respect you. And sometimes that respect is calling you out. Sometimes that respect is having a heated discussion about something, but it's whether you can move past that.
And that's safety too. I just said this to my husband the other day. I said, isn't it great that we can get really mad at each other? You know, and it's fine. It blows over. It's a feeling like I don't have to walk on eggshells.
Because there's an honesty in that too. You're angry. Yeah. You express that. He knows how to hear it. And you resolve it.
That doesn't mean that you have no filter, because there's also this wise core of you that knows when to talk or how much. And sometimes you blow it. It's just the way it is. You say too much or you yell or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And if I may ask about your personal process, what was it like realizing that you were shaping who you were and you were kind of bending over backwards to be somebody that your ex-husband wanted to be with?
It was miserable. I mean, to realize it was great. To live it was miserable. It was so hard. And from the outside, we looked like, you know, this perfect family, you know, the whole 2 kids, doctor, husband, fancy car in the driveway, you know, the whole thing. But it was very, very difficult. I did a lot of therapy during those years. But I also saw it. I don't know if you know about, there's a very interesting book by a Spanish mystic named Carlos Castaneda. The book is called The Fire Within. And this is how I got through the marriage and what I did. it's the idea of someone, the mystic is imprisoned by a torturer. And every day the torturer gives this mystic another horrible torture. And the mystic thinks, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Until one day he looks at the torturer and he looks at himself and he says, I'm getting stronger. And so he sees his torturer, it's terrible to say it this way, as he calls him a petty tyrant, meaning this person comes after me, but it's actually for my own good. I am growing and learning and getting stronger. And so I said to myself, we were married for 25 years. I said to myself, I'm getting stronger. I'm learning what I need to learn. I'm growing up. And I would often just sit and meditate and try to get my head together when I got really upset. And then I learned about something which I put in the book, actually. It's called Upset is an Opportunity for Learning. It's a sheet. It's in here. I don't know what page it is. But what you do is you do an analysis of when you get upset. It's a cognitive behavioral technique, but I made it a little bit spiritual in the book. What you do is you write the patterns. What day of the week did I get upset? What time of day? What date was it? And how was I before I was upset? Was I hungry? Was I tired? You know, whatever. And you begin to analyze. And what was the exact moment when I got triggered? What happened? What was happening? Anyway, you analyze it. And after a while, I did 350 of those when I was married. In a book, I kept 20 because I wanted to know. I wanted to be better. I didn't want to be divorced. It was like, I really don't want to be divorced. I really want to grow up and be the best I can be. And after a while...
Which I think when you get to 350 pages of concerns, a lot of people will be like, I think the marriage is gone. I think that ship has sailed.
That was in 1 week. I'm kidding.
But this is it, you know, there is that pressure, you know, and I don't think we can take full responsibility for it for that reason, because there is this expectation of marriage still so much in our respective cultures. There's this expectation that marriages last, and that's not the reality, you know, statistically, that's not people's lived experience, but there can be that pressure of, even like you said, it all looked perfect on the outside. What kind of questions am I going to get when I break up with this doctor, when I leave behind the nice car that I get to drive, you know, when I break this illusion that everything's perfect?
Yes. You've hit it on the head, really. That's the nail.
And then the further scary bit is, what would shattering this illusion do for other people around me who are living in their own?
Yeah, I think it's very complex. I mean, it is hard for kids to have their families divorce. I think they do, in some ways, wear the scars, depending on what the kids do with it. And I think also there's this honesty, and the kids get much more grounded, much more honest. I think my kids did better as a result. They're both grown up now, and they're amazing. I think they're doing great. But I'm sure they would say, yeah, that was really hard and I'm still paying the price or something. I don't know.
Mm. No, it is a difficult one, you know, and then you also think, but would I have wanted them to be raised with two people pretending they're still in love? Is that a template you want to pass on?
And do you want to be a role model for your kids of someone who's unhappy and who's struggling and doesn't enjoy their lives? And when you get older, I mean, they'll have to take care of you if you're sick and you're miserable. That's no gift either.
Yeah, it's true, because in so many ways, you're the template, particularly when kids are really small, on what is even possible. You know,
template.
Marriage is possible because they grew up in one, but also doing something about an unhappy marriage they've seen as possible.
I was imagining your listeners hearing this, and I was thinking, dating when you have been married is very different. You've seen so much more life. You know how things pan out, and it's you enter it with more wisdom, but you really are more compassionate. The dating itself, I used to find the dating was a pleasure. I got to meet another adult. I love male energy anyway, but to meet another person who's many times either widowed or divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who have been through learning experiences. So I was afraid of the dating, but it turned out to be great.
That's good to hear, because I think that can be a difficult thing to reconcile in itself, that you get into a long-term relationship. I think particularly when people go on to marry, and there is this idea of like, okay, I'm tapped out. I'm out of the dating pool. I love to hear the stories of my single friends and how crazy the dating apps are, but I don't really have a desire to engage in them myself, you know, and then actually getting to a place where you're like, ooh, I'm back in the dating pool. I find myself where I didn't expect. And now maybe I do have to download that app. You know, it is daunting.
Yeah. Yes, I have a lot of clients who go through that, and they do well. We pick it apart to understand what parts of you are afraid or apprehensive. You know, what's really coming up? And even that can be a healing experience.
Mm-hmm. And another healing experience I'm really keen to get your take on is using humor in your work.
Well, I see everything as vibration. And humor is very high in the frequency scale. So humor is crucial. I think laughing every day with your partner is a necessity. To take things, especially if they get really serious, and to see how ridiculous they are, if you can. This goes back to the understanding of the internal family systems also, which is if we have this core that is divine, that is higher vibrating, humor is in there, laughter is in there. And if we get to a part that we might call the manager, there are aspects of ourselves that want to be in control. They won't laugh.
Mm-hmm.
They really get like an agenda of how things need to be. This is where relationships get into trouble, because out of fear, we want to control. And when that happens, the whole vibration of the relationship goes down. But the way to keep it up is with humor.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm reminded of an ex of mine who was a trainee psychotherapist while we were together.
Oh,
yeah, which, see, you know, pros and cons. So understandably, she was applying a lot of what she was learning to the rest of her life and to me, and did, you're shaking your head, and did express concerns, which I don't think she was wrong about, that I, you know, didn't create space to play in my life and be unserious. Oh. And at the time, I was really kind of working every hour, and my life was so structured around working that had kind of got squeezed out.
Yeah, there are cycles to that. And there are times when you're trying to build something the way you've built this wonderful platform, you got to give it, you just have it within you. That's your need to build it. But I want to just make a comment, and this is in no way correcting your ex, but just what we all tend to do. We really need boundaries, most importantly, in our relationships. And what your path is not for me to comment on, except I could say to you, I'd like to see you Wednesday night, every Wednesday night for a date, and make sure we make love and that we have restaurant time or whatever we're going to do. That's fair. But where relationships get into trouble is with one person saying, you know, your life is off balance. You need to do that you word. You need to work less. You need to, I could say, you know, Bobby, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who works 80 hours a week. I get to say that, but I don't get to cross that line and say, you're working too much. Because whenever we use the you word, the other person feels hurt and angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of what I tried to boil down in this book. There are things that we can do that are kind of blanket rules that we were never taught. You got to maintain boundaries. And that means, too, that if for your partner, using the word elephant is offensive, and because you love your partner, you stop using the word elephant. But we don't want to have the partner say, you can never use the word elephant, because then you're in a straitjacket. And all you do is try not to make mommy mad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that, or make daddy mad. We want there to be so much freedom in the relationship that we are grateful, finally, to be with someone where we are able to be ourselves. So delicious.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, what I'm getting from that is really taking the lead with what is my stuff. Like you described with clients that people please, they can be getting really mad at the other person over stuff that's really being led by their own drive, their own kind of patterns or insecurities. And so if we kind of start off with that, it's more productive. There's probably more answers there than if we're trying to hypothesize the other person up and down.
Well, there's a natural, I don't know what the word is, gravity or grounding. The more authentic you go, the more comfortable you are, the more you say things spontaneously that are true. And there's this rich quality. And then what happens is if you establish this with a partner, I'm noticing this with my husband, the quality of your time together is so much better than with anybody else. You feel so well with this person that it's not like, oh, I've got to be faithful to this person, or I got to tell everybody else I can't see them. You're just like, oh God, I'd rather spend time with my partner. We just have so much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as we start to round up, then we've got to each choose our rules of the game. So is there one more bit of advice you'd give to people that you try and live by in relationships?
I would say learn techniques to be with yourself and to know what you want and who you are is probably the most important thing. Taking care of yourself is really crucial so that you don't depend on your partner to give you what can't be given. You have to give it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I would add something about people pleasing, because I've been thinking about it a lot in this conversation, that it can really feel like something you're doing for another person. But it isn't good for them either. You know, it can actually be keeping them at arm's reach, that you are creating a version of yourself you think they like. So there's certain assumptions going on about them. They're assuming they're getting to know you, whereas they're getting to know a version of you you're creating for them. And resentment can come up, but also a real disconnect there. You're not allowing them to know who you are, what you actually want, what you actually like.
And it is based on fear,
mm-hmm,
that you want to make sure the other person is pleased, because you're afraid what will happen if they're not pleased. I won't be safe. If you're not happy, I won't be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll wrap up there then. Thank you so much for this conversation. If people want to find your book, where do they go?
It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble and also Balboa Press. And it's called 20 Ways to Lose Your Lover.
Yes. And then the other side is 20 Ways to Keep Your Lover. So
And you're going to send me your information so I can send you a copy.
Absolutely. But I just want to pick up on the two titles. I like that idea of people will approach it with their own biases and they'll choose one side of the book or other. But it's ultimately all getting back to kind of these core ideas we're talking about today.
Yes, thank you. That's great. I have so enjoyed speaking with you. You're a magical interviewer, I would say.
Oh, thank you. We need to put that on a poster. And we're going to have a chat behind the paywall in a minute and reflect on this conversation. But for now, thanks again.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.